So I'm wearing my dark black suit that I wore last time at my father's funeral. So once again, I've attended a funeral of a very dear teacher. He's not even an equal brother, I would say. He was always a senior that I looked up to ever since I was 2 years in IT, as I wrote to the professionals, WhatsApp. And so he was always kind of respected as a man of faith, man who, in spite of his bodily limitation, he actually had a weak heart even from way back then. That's 1984. And yet he was willing to go forth to Philippines back then. And so they assumed that he would not live that long, but surprisingly, the Lord really blessed him to live a long life. And so I'm sure he has no regrets. He is thankful that God sustained him to be able to serve him. And I knew him through the years when he finished his, not finished, but once he was done with Vietnam, he came and joined us to be a part of Asian American ministry. And that's where we actually worked together. And so I've always considered him as my senior, my older brother who had a similar gift. He was an apostle, pioneer, had a big capacity. So, but it's interesting how in the funeral, he was really praised and lifted up for his shepherding and love ministry. Even though he was an apostle in the first half, actually starting from Maryland ministry, the Lord kind of brought him to a smaller context and did more counseling ministry. And so I always thought he had a bigger capacity than what he was doing. He had much more bigger capacity. But somehow the Lord brought him to a smaller but more intimate ministry, and he turned into more of a shepherd. And as people were sharing about how they were blessed by Pastor Hong, I mean, I've seen that and witnessed that, and that he really loved each person. Especially like down and out kind of a people who are not doing well, but he would invite them to his home, and they live with him, like drug addicts or just other addicts. I believe our brother Ving was living with him for about a year as well. And so, but the thing about this is when you have a big ministry, at least you got some things going well. When you have a smaller ministry or you're dealing with individuals, there's no guarantee if you invest 10 or 15 years that they'll stick around. And so some stuck around, some many moved on. And so I know that through the years, he patiently was faithful to God no matter what. He just continued to pour his life for the Lord. But I know that he also experienced a lot of hurts, misunderstanding. And I know for a couple of instances that he didn't get the comfort here on earth. There's some misunderstanding in the NAVs that I know of because I was involved in the Asian American ministry. So if I had a chance, I would have said this, and now I have a chance, so I'm saying it. He didn't leave this place being comforted. of these many situations that we wish we would be comforted. But now I know that he's with the Lord and he is being comforted. Maybe he didn't have the opportunity or situation or the time to resolve all these things, but I'm thankful now he's in heaven. He is comforted. He's at peace. He's at rest before the Lord's presence for all eternity. So I'm really thankful for his life. His life is still forever and a challenge and encouragement to press on. One of the comments that his wife, Mrs. Hong, shared in her testimony, as she was sharing her testimony, I could see in her zeal, oh, here's a navigator team leader girl. Her sharing was very precise and very solid. But one of the comments she said about Peter Hong was, at no point in all of his life did he shy away from saving souls and making disciples. And his life was about, whether in a big scale, overseas, or even in an individual scale, his heart was always reaching out to the lost. And he didn't discriminate healthy people from unhealthy people. He just reached out, you know. So I thought that was a pretty amazing testimony, that his life was committed to saving souls and establishing people, no matter how long it took. So I was reminded once again about love and discipleship, and that the goal is to love the people and nothing else. And so I was encouraged and challenged by his life. So let us continue to pray for Mrs. Hong and the family, because it happened really sudden. So she was, every time she was in tears, not because she didn't believe in the eternal life, obviously. It's a terrible loss that she is experiencing, just very suddenly. He was a healthy man a few days ago, and then immediately he ended up passing away. So anyway, I just wanted to start out with that, to give appropriate remembrance of our teacher who came last fall to give us an amazing life message about abiding in Christ. Okay, so let us go on. Oh, just to lighten the mood a little bit, I was encouraged by a comment somebody made yesterday, that some mom and daughter was walking by our training center, and the daughter stopped and said, mommy, look, that's so beautiful. The building, a little girl looked at our building and said, it's so beautiful. And it was not only the little girl. I was here and many people went by and they stopped and said, it's such a beautiful building. And if a little girl could look at our building and say, it's beautiful, it must be beautiful. You know, it's like, it's beautiful. And so what that affirmed me is God made it beautiful. Because we have dedicated this building for the purpose of missions, for the work of God. You know, it is beautiful externally, and I trust it'll be beautiful internally as we use this place for God's glory. Amen? Okay, I have more Thanksgiving, but I'll stop. We need to get into the message at some point. Okay, so we are in Jeremiah, and I think the title is How God Calls His Prophet. Is that right? How God Calls for His Prophet. I had another title, How God's Call for His People for His Sovereign Purpose. That's a little long. So How God Calls His Prophets, and we are identifying ourselves as a little prophet because Jesus is the big prophet, and there's some Old Testament major and minor prophets. But for us, church, we've been purchased to be his priest and prophet in a little p sense. Jesus is the big prophet, we're the little prophet. And so even though this is a call to the Old Testament major prophet, in the way that God prepares a prophet, in the way God assures a prophet, and in the way God directs his prophet, is a principle that we can really apply in our lives. You know, so it's not like this is for Jeremiah, so we can't relate with it, but actually, this is how God calls a prophet. And the principles in the way that he does that are things that we can really apply in our lives. So last week, we talked about how God prepares a prophet, and before he says, God wanted to remind Jeremiah that my calling to you is not just unprepared, unplanned, you know, and not in the context of knowing you. But he says, before you were born in your mother's womb, I knew you. I consecrated you. I appointed you for a very specific task, in this case, to be a prophet to the nations. So this is an amazing reality and comfort if we realize that for ourselves, because we all have a different appointment, perhaps, but we are likewise consecrated. We were set apart for his holy purpose, one way or the other. You know, we are set apart. God already, one thing for sure for us believers who are here in the church, you are consecrated, chosen even, to be saved. So that was even planned before the foundation of the earth. And we don't know the wisdom of that because God kind of lives in eternal present tense. And so he knows everything. But it's hard to kind of wrap it around our head. Like, how does he know he was going to choose us? But he did. He knew us before the foundation of the earth. And he chose us to be saved, but also consecrated our entire life from the conception to the last day, like Pastor Hung, who went to be with the Lord recently, to this, the last day, God is saying he consecrated our lives and his life. And then he appointed us to a very specific purpose in the way we will be used. I mean, I think we can attest to, you know, the people that we come across is so uniquely different from people that other people come across, right? Like, everybody I met, I mean, we met some at the funeral, right? I knew, and I know, there's people you don't know, but at the funeral, we met Tim Barta. Now we crossed paths, but... And I fellowship with Tim Barta during NAV staff time. But you didn't have that. But you have a different set of, you know, relationship and divine encounters. God is going to use you alone for that purpose. Especially the guys you were mentioning in Long Beach. So likewise, God knows us, which is so much worth meditating deeply on. He set us apart for his holy purpose, and he has an appointment for us. And as we understand this deeply and see the love of God and his involvement in our lives and how he wants to really bless us, I think our hearts should be really comforted. We should be really, really thankful that God takes such a personal interest in us. And so he prepares the prophet for, by comforting his soul. And as he is comforted, obviously he didn't fully understand what that meant. And so he's like responding with an objection, but I'm too young, I can't speak. But even to that, God said, don't say you're too young. You know, you will go everywhere I send you, and you will say everything I command. So here goes. From this point on, you know, I talked about how, maybe I should mention briefly about that last point last week, is Prophet Jeremiah, Prophet Isaiah, and even Moses had an objection. But to those objections, God had a solution. Don't say you're too young. I will be the one to authorize you, give you the word. To Isaiah, you know, God brought a coal upon his tongue to cleanse the filthy words that he was speaking, cleanse the sin. For Moses, he said, I will give you an Aaron. And later on, grow him in an ability to speak as well. So I said, why does God use weak people or people with a disability or, you know, just lacking something? It's because the calling is from God, and he doesn't mind that we're not so talented. He doesn't mind we are limited in our ability, because I believe he chooses people with limitations, which we are all limited in one way or the other. We all feel inadequate. So that we could call on the Lord with dependency. If we're overly adequate unto ourselves, then we don't depend on the Lord. We won't hope in the Lord. So he chooses people who are inadequate so that their power will not come from themselves, but the power will come from the Lord. Second thing I mentioned briefly is, from that is, he doesn't always call according to our gifts. Sometimes we think, I'm not gifted for this kind of stuff, you know? But Jesus, you know, God is saying, it's okay, I'll add some gift to you. Whatever gift we're lacking, gift is not a base of God's calling necessarily, sometimes maybe, but not always. But it's God's ability to add onto us his ability and his gifts. So God kind of removes every objections and, you know, reasons for not responding to his call. As I have not enough ability, you know. I don't have the gift, but God said, it's okay. I have appointed you, consecrated you, and I know you. Right, Juan? I see Juan smiling a little bit.
Yes.
Help your mom gets well. Well, then we move on to, so what if this is how God prepares and even helps us to be comforted through our objections, you know, what does he call his prophets to do? What is the job, what are God's job description for his prophet? So first thing, I've already went through it. It says here, when he objected, God responded. He said, do not say, I am youth. Because everywhere you send me, I send you, you will go, and every or command you, you shall speak. So basically, the first point is, you will listen to what God says about you, not your own voice about yourself. You shouldn't look at yourself through your own eyes, but you should look at yourself through God's eyes. So that's something that we need to do daily, I believe. As I look at myself through my own eyes, I look small in my own eyes. That's what happened to King Saul, and he sinned and lost his kingship because he looked at himself through his own eyes. He looked small in his own eyes. Though he was chosen out of thousands to be the king of Israel, the first king of Israel, to him, somehow he looked at himself through being a Benjamite and in a small family or the last child. He looked at himself small, and he had an inferior complex because he was looking at himself through his own eyes. But this is not a prophet thing to do. God calls his prophet, you know, you have limitation, as I said, we talked about, but you should not look at your youth or inability to speak. You need to look at me. We need to look at what God has to say about us. God's point of view and what God did. And so God said, I know you, I consecrated you, and I appointed you. So that's first thing. And this is easily said than done, you know, for some people, and others maybe less. But this is a kind of a path towards healing, even. I think we've been impacted by the world. We've been impacted by our family. Sometimes there's a situation where that impact has kind of like made us look inward and made us look small in our own eyes. And sometimes it's hard to look through God's eyes because it's been a habit for a long time. Bozzy is nodding. You know, we kind of have experienced through, you know, probably a large degree through our family. And sometimes maybe even our failures. And this is a healing process, but then it's a pretty good truth right here. God knows me, God consecrated me, God appointed me. He thinks I'm great. I need to find my worth in God. It could take long, but it doesn't have to take long if we take on the promises or the word and really believe it and act on it. Secondly, it says, where God sends you, you will go. For a prophet, we are not necessarily typical people on earth. Typical people on earth, natural people, you know, unbelievers and believers many times alike, their path is, how can I get the best education, best degree, best job? How can I make a most comfortable situation for my home and really enjoy the home, enjoy raising children, you know, enjoy having grandchildren? I mean, really obeying your parents and having grandchildren and then excel more with the higher paying job, better opportunity, enjoying more pleasures, you know, getting better things. This is not necessarily wrong per se, but it's a very natural thing. Everybody else does. Not even just Christians, but unbelievers do this. But for us, children of God, disciples of Christ, we hear Christ's voice and we're called to follow his voice. So the basics of a prophet is learning how to be a disciple, learning how to hear Jesus' voice and following him. And that's basically what God is saying here. Where I send you, you will go. This is a prophet's job description. You don't go where the world is going. You don't go where your desire is going. You don't go where other people say you should go. You should go where God says you should go. This is really basics of a disciple, basics of a prophet's life. And so, you know, that's even Abraham, you know, he didn't go to Canaan by himself. I just got a thought. Maybe we should go to this place that I don't even know about, but, you know, he didn't create that himself. God called him to leave your home and go to this place you do not know, but I will be with you, make your family great and multiply you. And he responded in obedience. Where God sent Abraham, he responded by faith, and therefore he was a man who was blessed. So, but of course, you know, this also requires deep personal devotion to God. Deep personal devotion to God. You don't want to just kind of casually sense and say, oh, I think this is what God's telling me. You should kind of discern this when you're in good condition, spiritually in good condition. If you try to, okay, where is God sending me? And you're not in a spiritually good condition, and you're not in a committed environment, you know, and where other people are involved in your lives. And so they could affirm or, you know, kind of give you feedback of what God is saying. So, but for sure, you want to stay in closer relationship with the Lord and learn how to hear his voice. And we need to kind of like identify what's this voice, what's that voice, what's the Lord's voice. There's something I'm praying about this week. I'm asking Jesus to give me his perspective, his insight. And so I could, whatever he says, I could pass on. So we need to stay close with the Lord to hear him, to receive instruction, to follow him. That's the prophet's job description. Thirdly, all that I commanded you, you will speak. This all is in the response to, but I'm a child, I can't speak. He says, where you go, where I send you, you shall go. And then the next one is, and all that I command you, you shall say. All that I command you, you will say. And that's the third point. All that God commands us, you will speak. So prophet is never a spokesman on his own. Remember the image of God standing here and we standing towards the people is that we hear what God is saying and we declare it to the people. And of course, like I said, the best way to do that is the Word of God. The Word of God is a prophecy. God already prophesied and, you know, instructed his people what to do in the Scripture. So that's why in 2 Timothy 3:16, we know all Scripture is God-breathed and he's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So it's the Word of God that we are digging into and understanding, and then we're preaching, proclaiming, being a prophet, having heard, understood, deeply digested, deeply applied, and along with the Word, of course, the Holy Spirit is involved. Holy Spirit affirms. Along with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the church is involved. The church checks whether the Scripture we're talking about is, you know, faithful to what God is saying in the Bible or not. So that we are studying the Bible together, and as I preach, you yourself already by the Holy Spirit, is what Pastor Min saying scriptural or according to the Spirit? So I try my best to not take it out of what God is trying to say, I'm not perfect, but then you can check. But yeah, that's why I try to use the Word of God to make my points as much as I can. I don't think you could have too much objection because I'm using the very words of God here in each of these points. All that God commands, you will speak. Involves the Word of God, involves the Holy Spirit, involves even the church. And the Holy Spirit, especially when you're having one-to-one counseling or one-to-one ministry, many times God kind of, you know what he does for me? I mean, the earliest, very first thing I experience is the verses I memorize, God just brings it up. Oh, I need to share this verse in this context. So I share it and it's, you know, right on. I mean, this is one of the things that I used to do is when I meet one-to-one is I like to pray for or hope for a verse that I could give a person, you know, each time. We have 20 verses, so I don't do that as much now, but whatever the verse that we're memorizing is the verse, but I used to try to get a verse for each of my disciples. Oh, I got a verse for you. God gave me this verse for you, you know? So, you know, God does give his truth for people. But these days, I'm thinking like, you know what? I'm doing a lot more Bible study man-to-man than ever before. I'm meeting with about 10 people one-to-one every week. I'm beginning to meet with professionals every other week. One-to-one, I decide to move on from a group disciple to more individual discipleship. So every, you know, disciple that I'm starting to disciple is like, you know, getting back to one-to-one. But because of that, I'm sharing more, we're studying the Bible more. And so it's interesting how God brings a study that we had in Book of Acts and then in another situation, I was able to apply it to bless somebody else. So God is sovereign. When you're going through some scripture and you're studying, suddenly, oh, that becomes the exact passage or verse that this other person needs. So it's like, God is amazing. He just kind of sovereignly orchestrates these passages in my life from even quiet time or, you know, other basics. And God kind of brings that to surface. But a prophet listens to what God thinks of me. That's number one. Number two is wherever God sends, we will go. So we need to learn how to listen to God, hear God. And then all that God commands me from the entire scripture, because the whole counsel of God is for us and other people. Whole counsel of God. So we won't limit any part of the scripture, but God also brings a very unique scripture for people. And we experience that ourselves. Fourthly, the job description of a prophet is, do not be afraid, but know God is with you to deliver you. That's the next verse. It says in verse 8, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You know, being a prophet is not a popular thing because you're speaking the truth and people might not like the truth. That is true in a prophet Jeremiah situation where he was kind of appointed to declare, you know, the doom of Judah and fall of Jerusalem. The people were sitting, committing idolatry. They worshiped God in the temple, but outside they were worshiping idols from other country, even to sacrifice children to worship other gods. So God, patient, and he's now declaring there be a judgment. that he is going to bring a foreign army, the Babylonians, to come and destroy Jerusalem and take Judah into captivity for 70 years. And he says, when they come, don't resist them. Then they will kill you and they'll destroy the city. If they come, just yield to them. Then you will live. It's kind of interesting. When the enemy comes, don't fight against them or resist them because they'll kill you all. But yield to them. Let them take you captive. That's what Jeremiah was telling Judah. And but this is not a popular thing that he is called to do. It really provoked the officials, the king, even the other prophets. It just rubbed everyone the wrong way. And they would not listen to him. In fact, they would try to kill him. And they did some kind of terrible thing, like throwing him in a cistern, like in a miry clay. I mean, I was talking to Robert and say he just went through Jeremiah and he thought that was pretty amazing. Related to this passage that I would later on end with is, he said, don't be afraid, but what is it? Verse 17. Now gird your loins, in chapter 1, verse 17. Now gird your loins and arise. Speak to them which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, for I will dismay you before them. Now behold, I made you today as a fortified city, a pillar of iron, as wall of bronze against the whole land of the king and Judah, king of kings of Judah, to its princes and its priests and the people. I will fight against. I will fight against you, but no, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. And I am with you to deliver you. So this is along the line of, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. So a prophet's job description is to be not be afraid. I'm going to send you to be a prophet where there's danger. Possibly they might kill you. But not to be afraid. But how do we not become afraid is hold on to God's promises. We are called not to be afraid to be a prophet, to speak the truth, speak the word of God to whoever God calls us to speak to. We are not to be afraid because God said, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. I will deliver you, I will deliver you. And it goes on, not only that God is with me and he will deliver me, he says, I will make you like fortified city. If you're a prophet of God and you continue to follow God, you're going to become like a fortified city. What is like fortified city? Fortified city is impenetrable. No attack from outside will penetrate you if you're a servant of God. Being a faithful prophet, you will grow to be impenetrable. And then it says, you will be a pillar of iron. How sturdy is a pillar of iron? I mean, I've been examining the iron gate, iron walls that's been put on. It's pretty solid, but it's just a real thin, they still use a thin portion of an iron. Maybe it's just steel. But iron is the tougher one. God is going to make you and me, if we go where he wants us to go, speak what he wants us to say, we obey God, he will make us fortified cities pillar of iron, and the next one is wall of bronze. Wall of bronze against the whole land. Wall of bronze against the whole land. Oh my goodness. And not even the kings of Judah, princes, priests, and the people of the land, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. And I am going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you. So this is what Robert shared, because in you know, it's chapter 38 is when Jeremiah started declaring these doomsday prophecy, the enemy is coming and you're going to be, you know, captured and deported to a foreign land, and the city is going to be destroyed if you resist them. And the prince, the officials, the priests, people really didn't like this prophecy. Just stop doing it, but Jeremiah was called to proclaim this judgment. He wouldn't stop. And so then he came to the king, and the king said, no, you know, you deal with it. And so the officials decided to throw Jeremiah into a cistern. And there's no water, but there was mud. So they lowered Jeremiah into a cistern. You know what? I bet he was saying, Jerusalem is going to fall, as he's going down, perhaps. It doesn't say, but he probably was saying, Jerusalem's going to fall. Don't resist him. You'll die. And then there was a Obed Malik. And, you know, there's an official who was on Jeremiah's side. He went to the king and told him this is what they did. And the king said, take 30 men and lift them out. And then king says, so tell me again. I won't kill you. I won't imprison you. Just tell me again, what is God saying? And so he said it again, you know, because of the sins of idolatry of Judah, God has brought a judgment. He's going to send foreign armies and going to take Judah to captivity. And so he kept his promise. But the other guys, other kings and princes and priests came and said, so they didn't hear about this. So what did you say and what did the king say? And so king made him promise not to say anything. So Jeremiah didn't say anything to them. But basically, you know, how was Jeremiah able to do this? He was proclaiming not a popular prophecy, and they were trying to kill him. They put him down for death, slow death, actually, into the cistern, because once, in fact, at that time, there was a shortage of food. He would have starved to death. But God protected him. He sent them a rescuer. And he was delivered out. And later on, sure enough, the Babylonian came, and the king resisted them, and so all his sons were killed and many people. And his eyes was taken out, so he was blinded, taken captive. And they burned down the city because they resisted the Babylonians. But you know what? Jeremiah was spared. They gave him a choice. Do you want to go with us to Babylon, or do you want to stay? And he chose to stay. But he has some other more things to do. So Jeremiah was saved while the king, the prince, priest, all the other people were, you know, taken captive. So God kept the promise. God kept the promise. It says, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, and I am with you to deliver you. Deliver you. If God says, do not be afraid, I am with you, I will deliver you, prophet's job is to believe that and not be afraid. If we're afraid of doing the Lord's work, that means we don't have our eyes fixed on what God is saying. God is saying, I am with you, I will deliver you. I am with you, I will deliver you. And you know, in the midst of COVID virus going around, it could be scary. You know, not everybody's called to go out to the street and proclaim the gospel. But then God may nudge you. Are you more self-protective, or, you know, I want you to go out and preach the gospel. If not to stranger, to someone, somebody you know. But you could be afraid. And it's a natural thing. Everybody's afraid. And natural thing is a human thing. But it's not a faithful thing, being faithful to God. Because we have a back that is so amazingly huge. Back. Somebody covering our back. That's God. God has given us promises, especially to be not afraid. Don't be afraid. There could be worse things coming around, but don't be afraid. I'm just thinking like those people who actually participate in war, you know, in the midst of bullets flying around. Mostly men, probably, but. So, fourth is, do not be afraid. You're a prophet, you're called to be a prophet. Trust God's promises that he's with you, he will deliver you. Do not be afraid. Next thing is, believe God that he will stretch out, put his word in my mouth. I mean, it's similar to the previous one. It says, whatever I command you, you will speak. Whatever I command you, you will speak. So this is more in the context of a relationship. That is in the context of a relationship. As you're being devoted to God, you're fellowshipping with God, as God speaks you, God commands you will speak. But I think this one is like, he will stretch out his arm and touch my mouth and put his word in your mouth. This may be a little bit like Apostle Paul when he went to King Agrippa. You know, when you have to go to before some king, you might be worrying like, oh, what am I going to say? What would I do? How many get nervous when you have to kind of make presentation in front of class? It's like, it's pretty scary, right? Think about going before a king. You know, and sometimes we would say, I'm not sure if I could cover all situations that God called me to cover. Okay, I'm comfortable with one-to-one, I'm comfortable with this, but, you know, I was just thinking, every time I turn left in the Vermont street, you got these, like, street evangelists. And I would think to myself, what if God wants me to do that a bit? You know, have you thought of that? You know, what if God wants me to be a street evangelist? Partly I say, oh, that might be exciting. But then, whoa, wait a minute, do I have enough things to say? They just go on and on and on. And I'm more of an indoor preacher.
Just 1 hour at a time.
Oh, do they rotate? So maybe there could be, maybe we could go around 1 hour at a time, guys. And so I think they had other preachers. Yeah, so they did have a woman preacher. There's a guy preacher, I think, you know, and guy is waiting for his time. He's walking around. but I was just thinking, it could be a good experience and, proclaiming on the marketplace. Paul proclaimed in the marketplace. And so I said, well, I haven't tried that one. I think maybe we should think about that. But I would worry, do I have the right thing to say in the public setting like that? I mean, I'm more focused in the indoor setting with our congregation. I'm familiar with you, so I got some things to say to you guys. But go out in the public, do I have the right things to say that would impact them? So I could be worried. But you know, here, if you're a prophet, don't only proclaim what God says in a very controlled situation when you feel comfortable. There might be a situation where you're not comfortable, maybe in the workplace. I think workplace is not a comfortable necessarily place, right? Albert, is a workplace a comfortable place to declare Jesus? Okay, he shakes his head. So, but the thing is, God may speak to us. Everything I command you, you should speak. So God may command us, I think you should speak to that guy in the way I want you to. So it could be very specific. God could give you a very specific instruction. You know, Bozzy, you have a kind of a, you know, research partners or people around you. What if God says, I want you to talk to that research partner of yours? Be wise, be careful, just share about the gospel in the right way, appropriate portion in the right way. Sometimes we don't have to give the whole bridge at one time. You could give them bite-size conversations. But when these situations happen, that is not necessarily a comfortable environment, God will stretch out his arm and put the words in your mouth. God's arm is not short. No matter where you are, he can reach out where you are and give you the word to say. Does it make sense? And the last job description of a prophet is, you will stand up and speak everything God commands you. You will stand up and speak. Don't remain seated and say, oh, God is saying this. Hey, did you hear? You know, not sheepishly, not just like, kind of like embarrassed by what you're saying, but in verse 17, it says here, now gird your loins and arise. Oh, I forgot to put that in. Stand up. Partly it includes girding your loin. You know what the girding your loin is? When the people in old days with long robes, they're ready to run, you know what they do? They take up their rope and tie the rope around them and gird their loins. And then they start running. What is that? It's a preparation. So that there's nothing that is dragging your feet from running. Gird your loins. Bring the clothing around you tightly so you could run. Gird your loins and stand up. Don't be so sheepish, you know, speaking like you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed of what you're going to talk about. The word of God has the power for salvation. Isn't that right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. If we really believe that the word of God is power for salvation of everyone who believes, then we can't be ashamed. We cannot be ashamed. It saved Peter Hong. The gospel saved Peter Hong. Through Peter Hong, who was part of an unbelieving family, his brothers, most of his brothers and sisters, became believers. If not all of them, I think the oldest sister said, you be our pastor. I know his younger brother. I was there, he was there in the Navigators when I was there as a trainee, and he's the one who says, he opened a box of like 2,000 Bible verses. He said, pick one. I pick one. And he cited it. So Peter Hong, Pastor Peter Hong was into scripture, but his brother was even more into scripture. So because Peter Hong heard the gospel through the Navigator, was saved, his whole family was saved. Finally, his dad before he died. And there's countless number of stories about how the gospel saved but changed lives. If we know the power of the gospel is, you know, in such, the truth of the gospel is so powerful, and many people have experienced its power in their lives. We cannot be ashamed. We can't be sheepish when we talk about it. We need to experience it more, perhaps. Maybe we have not experienced it deeper, but we need to experience the gospel deeper. I heard that, was it Jack, in the professional meeting that you guys talked about enjoying the gospel? Is that right? Jack, was that right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, that's great. I heard that and say, I give you a thumbs up. Do enjoy the gospel even more in your life, the resurrection power. And then more you realize this, its power, not only in other people's life, but in your life, you will not be ashamed. And so gird up your loins and stand up when you speak. As a prophet, one of the what is the word who does the, he said he didn't know the meaning at Peter Hong's funeral. The person who speaks to kind of just remember. Eulogy. So one of his disciples was giving a eulogy. And he said, I prepared some stuff, but I don't think, I'm not sure if you attended it through Zoom, but he just went off, you know, about what he was thankful for about Pastor Peter Hong, but, you know, he quoted verses that his Pastor Peter Hong gave him that he really were thankful. But he was out there preaching boldly and said, well, this guy has some boldness and some passion here. And so, but he experienced the gospel. He was a drug addict, according to his testimony. And Pastor Hong took him into his house, right? And then his life was changed. So he experienced the gospel powerfully. That's why I believe he's so passionate. So for us, pray that God, would you make the gospel penetrate more deeper and more wider into my life? That if there's still deadness due to corruption in any way in our lives, that his resurrection power will deliver us, that we would experience the power of the resurrection. I think Pastor Jeff talked about that, right? So how does God prepare? He wants him to know that God knows the prophet. He consecrated, he appointed. What is it? What are the job description? As I talked about, you will listen to what God says. You listen to what God thinks of you. Right? That might have been a better thing. You will listen to what God thinks of you, not your own voice about yourself. Secondly, where God sends you, you will go. Thirdly, all that God commands you, you will speak. Fourthly, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because God is with us. He will deliver us. Fifthly, believe that God can stretch out and give you the word in any situation. Lastly, you will gird up your loins. Stand up. Be courageous. Don't be sheepish. Don't be ashamed. Speak everything I command you in a courageous and powerful manner. Amen? So, I wanted to share this just because I've always been touched by Jeremiah 1. And I came back to it and I said, I think we need to reflect on Jeremiah's calling and be comforted ourselves, because we are prophets, we need to be comforted. So hopefully this is a comforting thing, also a challenge, because God is challenging us to be a prophet. But in conclusion, I just wanted to go through some I think the last thing I wanted to go through is some reassurances God gives to the called. I've already covered Jeremiah 1:18 through 19. So let's see, Jeremy, can you read that for us again? This is a reassurance God gives. Go ahead.
Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.
Well, that was a reassurance we talked about for Jeremiah. Recently, I came across another reassurance. Let's see, Ed, can you read the next one? Acts 18:9-10. Tough cookie who doesn't get touched by a possible threat. I think he felt it, but he did not let that fear overwhelm him. But God found it, you know, necessary to give him this word. Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Go speak, do not be silent. I am with you. I am with you. No man will attack you in order to harm you, and for I have many people in the city. God has his people in the city to protect Paul. So this is a reassurance for Paul. You could be harmed, but don't worry, I'm with you. Don't stay silent, keep on speaking. So this is a pretty comforting. Paul was a prophet, we're a little prophet. Not as much as Paul, but then I don't think we face danger like Paul either, but it's a reassurance. Lastly, Isaiah 54:17. Let's turn to Isaiah 54:17. I didn't put that down, but I was looking for, where is that verse where it says, no weapons formed against you will prosper. And I realized it's in Isaiah 54, which is our promise for the ministry that navigators claim, but I also claim for our ministry. And the last part of that is pretty reassuring. First part, the promises, it says, shout for joy, O barren one who has borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting. Cry aloud, so you have not travailed. Son of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of a married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your pay. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and you, your descendants will possess nations, will resettle desolate cities. So this is one of the promise that I claimed and tried to live by. One of the encouraging thing at the end that I always remembered is, no weapons that is formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So as we serve God, as a servant of God, there be different, you know, attacks or weapons, tongues formed against us. But the vindication is from the Lord. So don't be afraid. God is with us. Don't stay silent. Keep on proclaiming as a prophet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word and your call to Jeremiah being so applicable to us as we are called to be little prophets. And you want us to know how much you know us, consecrated us, appointed us, even before the foundation of the earth. And there's still nothing could limit you from using anyone. And you give us reassurances that you will make us like a fortified city, pillar of iron, and so on. And that you would be with us, that you would not allow those who wants to kill or destroy us from prevailing, because you will rescue us. So Lord, would you inspire us through your word by your Holy Spirit, that perhaps from these truths, whatever that you are pointing to, how we can grow more as a healthy prophets for you. Would you start doing the work? Would you save us from our brokenness? Would you save us from our hindrances, our objections, so that we can or just be healed and be everything that you call us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.